Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us at the Central and Janesville podcast. Please remember to check us out on centraljanesville.com throughout the week. We're excited for wherever God's got you at right now, and we hope this message brings you a little closer. Thanks. I do want to say we're starting up this new series, the Stories of Easter, and I don't know if you know it, but Easter is coming really, really quick this year. It's 4 weeks away. It's still in the month of March, March 31st. And so what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is we're going to be taking a look at different stories of Easter. Jesus being arrested and being betrayed and going through the trial and all this stuff. And it's going to lead up to Easter, obviously the resurrection story of Easter. And as we do this, what we want to do is, last year we had a bunch of people in our church record the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the story of Jesus, and we put them on our podcast, and we listened to them the month leading up to Easter, and we're going to do that again. We're going to repost them on our podcast. If you don't know what our podcast is, it's Central in Janesville. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on iTunes. You can simply go to centraljanesville.com/The Daily Gospel, and you can find these every day for the next like 30 days. We're going to have portions of the gospel being read. And so as a church body, we're going to listen to the gospels again. And I know there are some of you that did that last year when we did this. For some, it was actually the first time that you even listened to or read through the gospels. And we need to hear the story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it goes through the story of Jesus through four different voices. And so I want to encourage you, starting up tomorrow morning, let's start reading through, listening through the Gospels together for this month, okay? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into our message here. Lord, I ask that you would work in our hearts and work in our minds for what you want to speak to us today. I thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that it would be powerful in our hearts and our minds this morning as we look into it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm gonna ask you if you've ever been in a situation where you saw that all the signs were pointing to one direction, and you just couldn't get over the top and believe that that's what all the signs were pointing to. I remember there was a time I was probably 7th or 8th grade, and I was on the school bus, and I was riding in the back of the bus with the normal kids that I would always ride with, and there was one girl back there. We've been friends since like first grade. And she was trying to get me to guess the two boys in our class that she liked, the two boys in our grade. And right off the top, I guessed Aaron because everybody liked Aaron. And I was right. She liked Aaron. And then I was trying, she's like, well, there's one more. And she's trying to get me to guess. And I named every single name in the book that was in our grade, every single boy. And I was starting to, I got about halfway through, and I'm starting to go, I'm pretty sure that she's going to say me. But I didn't want to say my name and it not be my name, because that would have been really embarrassing to me. I get embarrassed really easily, and so I just kept saying every name possible. And finally at the end, I was like, it's me, isn't it? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, well, too bad. No, I didn't say that. The crazy thing is I actually ended up doing her wedding ceremony eventually one day. So that was weird. I saw the signs, but it's like I couldn't face the reality. Maybe you've been watching a movie before. You're watching a television show, and you kind of see where it's leading to, but you just don't figure it out for some reason. There's a comedian named Nate Bargatze, and if you've not watched his stuff, he's a clean comedian. He's literally the funniest comedian out there. Crystal and I got to go watch one of his shows this last month, and it was awesome. But he sets up this joke about a movie called The Sixth Sense that I think is hilarious. Now, I'm going to spoiler alert, The Sixth Sense is like 20 plus years old at this point. And so I'm going to say something. If you were like, you know what, I was going to go to Blockbuster this evening and rent this movie, plug your ears, okay? I had a kid come up to me a couple weeks ago. I had said something about the show Friends and how Monica and Chandler were married, and she was so mad at me. She's like, I wasn't to that part yet. I'm like, that's your fault. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, okay? So, if you haven't seen The Sixth Sense, spoiler alert. But the movie is all about this kid who sees dead people. That right there should tell you, don't watch the movie. It's freaky, okay? But he sees dead people, and he's seeing this therapist. And At the beginning of the movie, we see this therapist in his house with his wife, and one of his old patients comes in and he shoots him. And then the next scene, like we see him, he's with his wife, they're at a restaurant. It's like, oh good, he's gotten all better. He's okay. And he's at this restaurant on their anniversary and she won't talk to him. She won't look him in the eyes, she won't talk to him. And for this whole movie, it's like this marriage problem between this therapist and his wife. She won't talk to him. And all of America thought that it made more sense that this woman wasn't talking to her husband than that he actually got killed when he got shot. We're watching this movie and this boy is talking to the therapist about he sees dead people, and we never put it together that the therapist was actually dead. Made more sense to us that wife just didn't want to talk to him. And we see things like this. We see signs. See signs in movies and shows, and it's like we don't face the reality and see what's right in front of us. And the story that we're going to look at today, the story of Easter, we're going to look at somebody who had the most important person that ever walked the face of the earth standing right in front of him, and he could not put it together. He had every reason to believe that what he was hearing about Jesus, what he was seeing in Jesus, that it was all accurate. And still, he chose not to believe it. Next week, we're going to be looking at Judas, the betrayer of Jesus. But what we're going to do actually this week is we're going to jump just a little bit ahead of that, and we're going to look at a guy named Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest during the time that Jesus was alive and walking this earth. And he's a guy that held a very unjust trial on Jesus. This dude had all the reasons in the world to look at Jesus and see what he should have seen. But he chose not to let the reality of Jesus change and affect the person that he actually was. And when push comes to shove, and you're looking for your answers in life, you're looking for what to believe in, will you do anything to believe whatever it is that you want to believe, or will you push to trust that Jesus is really the answer? We live in a culture where this culture is doing whatever it can to believe whatever it wants to believe and not believe that Jesus is the answer for everything. And when we live in a culture like that, it's actually really tough for us not to get sucked into that way of thinking sometimes. We sometimes think that we can push Jesus aside and we can go after whatever the truth is that we want to go after. One of the things that bugs me more than anything is people talking about their truth. There is no my truth, your truth. There is a truth. And we find it in Jesus, but a lot of us, we're not always comfortable with that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look ahead at Matthew 26. Jesus has been arrested at this point. And now he is put before this guy named Caiaphas. And Caiaphas is trying to determine what to do with him. And ultimately, he and his cronies, they'd already decided what they were going to do with Jesus. They had determined ahead of time. And so Matthew 26, we're starting in verse 57. It's about 11, 12 verses, and so it's a little bit longer. So let's dig in here. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You've said so, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming down the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He's worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you? All right, so who is this dude, Caiaphas, that we're reading about here? Caiaphas was, like I already said, he was the Jewish high priest during the time that Jesus was in his adult years. He was also the son-in-law of a guy named Annas, who was also a high priest at one point. In fact, he was still referred to as a high priest. And so there is, at least to some degree, there are two high priests going around at this point. And that is already messed up because there was only supposed to be one high priest. And so when we look at this, we see that these religious leaders in Jerusalem, they had already gotten off the mark from where they were supposed to be. They were carrying out their duties in ways that was not called for. And Annas, this high priest, he was actually the one who people brought Jesus to first for questioning. And Annas questioned him a little bit, didn't take very long with him, and then he sent him off to his son-in-law, Caiaphas. And Caiaphas, he had an agenda. He wanted to make sure that Jesus was going to die. The problem was, is that they couldn't just go ahead on their own and kill him. They had to find out a reason why the Romans would want to kill him. Because if the religious leaders killed Jesus, the people were going to be mad. Because they actually were starting to follow Jesus and trust Jesus and think that what he was doing is cool. And so Caiaphas is questioning Jesus for a little while. And then he sends him off to Pilate. Pilate, you might remember, Pilate wants nothing to do with Jesus. He's like, he hasn't done anything wrong. And so he sends him off to Herod. Herod questions him for a little while. He sends him back to Pilate. And then Pilate, based on what the people were requesting, finally sent him to his execution. And so Caiaphas, this guy, he didn't really care if what they said about Jesus was true or ethical. He was just bringing people into this room to try to get people to say something about Jesus that they could crucify him for. Caiaphas presided over a group of people called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were the religious high court of that time. And the majority of the people in the Sanhedrin were what we call Sadducees. Sadducees is they're people who they don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And so they heard about Jesus supposedly raising this guy named Lazarus from the dead. I say supposedly. I believe that he did raise Lazarus from the dead, okay? But they would have assumed it was a supposedly situation. They didn't really believe it because they didn't believe in people being raised from the dead, the resurrection of the dead. So these Sadducees, they didn't agree with the things that Jesus were teaching. And they also wanted to keep the peace between the Jewish people and the Roman government. They wanted to keep the peace because they were sitting in a really comfortable place. The Roman government was kind of okay with the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, doing whatever they wanted to do. And so they didn't want people to start to think that Jesus was who he said he was and start to follow him and cause an uprising. That wouldn't have been good for them. And so these Sadducees, which most likely Caiaphas is one of the Sadducees, or he's at least very empathetic to them, they're doing whatever they can to figure out how to get Jesus killed. And for all intents and purposes, the trial that Caiaphas sets up, it is an illegal trial. There's an attorney named Earl Wingo. He wrote a book called The Illegal Trial of Jesus. Here's what he writes. He says, total membership in the Sanhedrin was 71. But on the night they tried Jesus, they purposely selected a bare quorum of 23. Almost all were related to Annas. 5 were his sons. 1 was a son-in-law. Others were said to be cousins. This is super shady, what they're doing, right? What they did is they got everybody in the room who wanted Jesus dead. They got those guys in the Sanhedrin. They got those guys in the room and just those guys. So that whatever it took to get Jesus to have to go to trial, to have to go and be killed on a tree, they were going to make it happen. Scholars say that Jesus' trial actually broke 18 of the Mosaic laws that were meant to protect the accused. So when you look at this trial, I think there's a question that we should consider for ourselves this morning. Are you willing to protect your way of life at any cost? Am I willing to protect my way of life at any cost? Even knowing that Jesus has a different way for me, am I willing to protect my way of life at any cost? We see this in movies and television all the time. People are willing to do anything to kind of keep their way of life the way that they want it to be. I watch stuff and I'm like, would any human really do that? But then I listen to true crime podcasts because I enjoy them for some weird reason. And these people, I mean, steal and cheat and murder for reasons where you're like, how could somebody get to the place of doing that? And the truth comes back to we are willing to do whatever it takes to keep our life the way that we want to be kept. Caiaphas had something to lose. He had power. He had authority. He had the freedom to do whatever it is that he felt like he wanted to do. He wasn't going to just let Jesus come in and mess that up. Are you willing to let Jesus just come into your life and mess things up when he wants to mess things up? It's a hard question when we really think about it. I like the way that my life is going. My first thought isn't like, hey, how could Jesus mess my life up today? That'd be fun. Nobody thinks that way. Are you too willing to protect what you love about your life, what makes you comfortable, even if Jesus is calling for a change? I wonder if you ever feel that nagging feeling inside your spirit where it's like, you know you're supposed to not be doing something that you're doing right now. For some reason, you just keep on doing it. For Caiaphas and the rest of the Sanhedrin, all these Sadducees, their living was tied to what was going to happen with Jesus. If things went south for them and everybody started to follow Jesus, that was going to change their livelihood. That wasn't going to be fun for them. Think about the possibility that something or someone is going to come in and take your job. That's a real threat. It's amazing when somebody comes in. Just thinking, like, as a basketball player, you come in, and I remember my freshman year, I was excited to be a good basketball player at high school. And this other freshman moved in, and he's like, yeah, I play basketball. I'm pretty good. I'm a point guard. I'm like, I'm a point guard. And I remember we had this event at the high school, and we were all in the gym just kind of shooting around. And my eyes were just drilling into this guy, watching him play. I'm like, there's no way he's as good as me. Like, we get, if somebody's going to come in and take our job, man, it's a threat. And so for these Sadducees, for the Sanhedrin, for Caiaphas, Jesus was a threat. But what if the one that was coming in and was causing that threat, what if it was Jesus? What if it was Jesus that was the one that was wanting to take some things away and change your life up in a way that was maybe going to be uncomfortable? What if there's something that you're supposed to, not just that you're not supposed to be doing, but maybe there's something that you're supposed to do and you're not doing it? You feel that God is calling you to do something in this world, and you're like, I don't know, that's a lot for God to ask me. Comfortable simply is not the place where we're going to see ourselves getting to where Jesus wants us to be. Comfortable is not that place. It's going to get us there. Jesus wants us to experience a different kind of comfort. It's a comfort that knows we're following the lead in the lead of Jesus. See, it's actually really hard sometimes for us to get to that place where we're willing to follow the lead of Jesus. But when it comes down to it, we get to that place and all of a sudden we realize, okay, that's the kind of comfort place that I'm supposed to actually be in. But to get there, it takes a lot. And Caiaphas, he didn't want that comfort. He wanted to lead his own life. And so he gets a bunch of people to come into his home for a fake trial to accuse Jesus of a bunch of stuff. And so these two guys actually come to him and they say, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Now, what happened here is this is a total misquote of something that Jesus actually said. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus said something that sounds like this, but it wasn't what they quoted. He said, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. You see, they're saying, he said he's going to destroy the temple. Jesus actually said, you destroy me. Destroy this temple, and I'm going to raise it again in 3 days. They misquoted him. You ever been misquoted before? It's not a fun thing for somebody to misquote you. Your kids misquote you to your spouse. You're like, no, I did not say that. Stop it. Stop trying to get me in trouble. This isn't really a misquote, but I got a laugh out of Finley the other day. So she's my 8-9-year-old daughter, one of those ages. She's my daughter, my youngest one. And she was talking to me about this nice gesture that somebody did, but she said, yeah, it was a nice gesture. I was like, what was that? Gesture. That's not quite the word, honey. Gesture is this, I told her what a gesture is, and I'm still not really sure what a gesture is, but I told her what a gesture was, and she's like, yeah, okay, well, it's not that, but it was a nice gesture that they did. No, you're still not getting it. They're two different words, gesture and gesture. it can be really hard to get words right all the time, especially when you're a little kid and you don't know the difference between the two words. Now, I'm pretty sure, though, that these guys who came in and said that Jesus said he was going to tear down the temple, they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew that Jesus didn't exactly say that, but they were a part of this crew with Caiaphas. And so Caiaphas, he looks at Jesus and he's like, hey, are you going to defend yourself? These guys said, you want to tear down the temple. What do you have to say about it? And I love what Matthew says about the reaction of Jesus. Verse 63, he says, but Jesus remained silent. Just a couple words. Jesus remained silent. Caiaphas was trying to get his own agenda carried out. And Jesus says absolutely nothing. Even though he knows that if Caiaphas gets his way, Jesus is going to die, Jesus still chooses not to say a word. I wonder, can you imagine how hard it would have been for Jesus to stay quiet in that moment? How do you respond in moments of stress and crisis? What about when somebody accuses you of something? Now, the real question is, how was it that Jesus was able to be quiet and confident in that moment? How is he able to respond to this moment of crisis with such strength? And really, the answer comes to something that we haven't looked at yet. It comes in what Jesus did in the moment that he knew he was going to be arrested. He actually dealt with this crisis before the crisis ever came to him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is right before Jesus was going to be betrayed and be arrested. He was in the garden, and a lot of us, we know the story. He was absolutely beside himself, knowing that he was going to have to go to a cross and take on the weight of the sins of the world. And so he's in this garden, and he's crying out to God. He's actually sweating droplets of blood, and he's saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. Take this cup from me. But ultimately, not my will be done, but yours be done. He was dealing with this crisis before it ever came. He was wrestling with his father about this impending crisis. My question for you is this. Are you wrestling with the difficult situations and questions of your life? Are you going to God about what is hard and what's real so that in the moment that it all hits, you can react in a quiet confidence? See, a lot of times we have the tendency not to do anything. When we feel crisis coming on, we don't do anything with the wrestling that needs to take place in our lives. I'm like that with my cars. Anybody ever have the little lights come on their dashboard on their cars? I don't know about you, but I see those and I'm like, cool, I got more lights in the car when it's dark. Like, I don't care about those lights. I don't care about them at all. Now, I got kind of lucky with my Toyota Camry because literally all, if you go in there, I think it's a 2010 Camry, all the lights are on that dashboard, every single one of them. Every single time they came on, I assumed it's a problem with the light, not with the car. And I got lucky. Every single time, it's just been a light function. And so every time I take it in the car, they're like, you've got a bunch of malfunctioning lights. We like them fixed. I'm like, no, I don't want them right because they'll come on again and I'll just ignore them anyhow. I ignore those lights. And I think it's going to come back to haunt me at some time because I'm going to be driving down the road and all of a sudden my engine's just going to go poof. And it's going to be smoking. It's going to be bad. I like to ignore the problem of the possible impending crisis with my car. Jesus responded to this crisis with quiet confidence because he had already wrestled with the Father about what was going to be happening. He had already chosen to trust his Father, that he was going to trust his Father's will, even though it went against his own will and what he was hoping could maybe happen. This is how comfort can happen for you, even when things that are happening seem utterly uncomfortable. Trust his will. Wrestle with the things that God wants you to wrestle with. Wrestle ahead of time so that you can choose in the moment that the crisis comes that you're gonna put your hand, your life in the hands of God, that you're gonna actually trust him and his will over your own will. Now, Caiaphas, he was not stupid. He had heard all the things about Jesus. He had seen what everybody was talking about. He knew this guy was different. He knew that people were starting to follow him. And frankly, it just made him want Jesus to die. He wanted Jesus dead. Caiaphas had all the signs in front of him pointing to who Jesus actually was. But he let his stubborn desires keep his heart from opening himself up to letting Jesus in. He had all the signs in front of him. Man, how many times do we have the signs in front of us of where Jesus is pushing us? And we just don't let him in. We don't open our hearts to him. After Jesus remained quiet in the face of his accusers, Caiaphas asked him one more thing. He said, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "You have said so." This is like one of the coolest things Jesus ever said. He's like, "Yeah, it's exactly as you say." And Caiaphas freaks out. He actually does something that it may be a little bit more of a problem for Caiaphas than you realize if you read it without some context. In verse 65, it says, "Then the high priest tore his clothes." Tore them. Now, when I was a kid and I would read about people tearing their clothes in the Bible, I'm like, this is weird. This is a weird culture that always wants to get naked or something. I don't know. I don't get it. But if you know anything about the culture of these Bible times, people would tear their clothes in grief. They would tear their clothes in desperation, in anguish. They would do that, except there was one person who was never allowed to do that, who was not supposed to do that. You want to guess who it probably was? It's the high priest. High priest is not supposed to do it. Part of their clothing, the part of the clothing that Caiaphas tore here was called the ephod. And in Exodus 28:32, there were actually instructions given for how to weave the opening on that piece of clothing so that it would be so strong that it couldn't be torn. A high priest was not allowed to tear this piece of clothing. The high priest was the one who was to go into the Holy of Holies once a year and to have this sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the people. So that sacrifice would cover their sins for the year. And this high priest, who wasn't supposed to tear his clothes like this, he tears his clothes. And here's the crazy thing. He throws those clothes at the feet of the one who we read about in Hebrews became our great high priest. The one who went to the cross for us and he became the sacrifice for sins one time, once for all. He didn't know that he was doing it, but in this act, what Caiaphas was doing was he was symbolically bringing an end to the Levitical priesthood that had been in place for a lot of Israel's history. And he was, without really knowing it, he was giving it over to the one who was taking that priesthood up. Jesus became our great high priest. Jesus became our sacrifice for sins once for all time. We are fooling ourselves if we think we're going to find comfort in any place other than in surrender to Jesus. Jesus is the place where our peace and our forgiveness is found. It's the place where our future is secured. It's a place where our joy gets restored. Even in moments where sadness is fresh in our lives, Jesus is the place where joy gets restored. He's the place where our purpose comes to life. Do you find yourselves pushing against Jesus sometimes? Not even knowing what your reasons for pushing against him are, but do you find yourself pushing against Jesus and not wanting to take him at face value for who he actually is? See, the gospel, the story of Jesus, it is a story that's meant for weak people. It's not for people who want to hold on to their old ways, to their old way of life. It's for people who actually believe that the life that Jesus gives us is the only life that actually matters. And see, we all want comfort in life. It's something that we strive after. It's something that Caiaphas was striving after. But what happened is Caiaphas he failed to see that the real comfort, the best comfort he could find in life, was to find it in Jesus. Instead, he just wanted to get rid of Jesus. Honestly, I think he should have known better, just like we should know better, when sometimes we get rid of Jesus for a day or for a 2 days or 3 days. Caiaphas saw Jesus healing people in town. He saw the authority that he was able to teach with, and still he was not able to surrender himself over to him. seeing all these signs that are pointing to who Jesus is, and yet they wanted to live a life that was void of Jesus. I know sometimes I wake up and I live a life that, for a little while at least, I want to be void of Jesus. What is that next step that you and I need to take, though, to find real comfort? Comfort that lasts. Because the only comfort that's going to last is the kind of comfort that we find in taking Jesus into our life day by day, moment by moment. Maybe if you're honest with yourself, you have been pushing Jesus aside for the different things in your life that you want to just hold on to. Maybe in some ways Jesus just doesn't kind of fit in with your lifestyle right now. Maybe you've got better things in mind for what you want your life to look like. Maybe what has to happen this morning is we need to be honest and acknowledge that we've been going after a comfort in life that is actually void of Jesus. Just be open and honest about that. Because when we're going after that kind of life, that may bring comfort for a time, but it's not a comfort that ever lasts. This morning, what we can do is we can take a simple step to ask God to help us find our comfort in Him once again and not in the other things that we're finding our comfort in. It's a simple ask. We can't do it all on our own, but we can ask God to help us get there. Or maybe you're struggling with some really, really difficult stuff in your life. And as you're struggling with that really difficult stuff in your life, you are not responding to those crises in your life, these crises in your life, with the kind of quiet confidence that you see Jesus responds to Caiaphas with. And maybe the reason is you have not spent time with God. Maybe you've been trying to ignore the problem. I'm telling you what, I think we've got so many people in our world that are struggling, that are hurting, because they are not ahead of time. They're not focusing on the issue. They're trying to ignore it away. And just like my car, eventually the engine's gonna blow up. We can't ignore the issues. Are you going to God? And so maybe your next step today is, as we sing a last song, you're gonna get up out of your seat and go over and meet somebody over at our prayer banner and have somebody pray with you. To ask God, okay, God, I've got this issue in my life. I've got this crisis, and I'm not dealing with it well. I need your help. Maybe you actually have wrestled with God about the struggle. And maybe you feel like God hasn't shown up. That is a real issue for a lot of us. At some point in our walk with Jesus, it's going to feel like, man, God, why haven't you shown up? I want to remind you what Jesus said when he was in the garden praying before the Father. He said, Lord, can you take this from me? But not my will, but yours be done. Maybe you feel like God hasn't answered you when you've come to him and you've put that problem before him. But maybe he has answered you and you haven't liked the answer. That's a real issue for us. Maybe your next step today is to say, okay, God, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And I'm gonna choose, no matter what, to put my comfort and my trust in you, even though it's not turning out the way that I'd like it to. I'm gonna trust that you know what you're doing. Maybe your next step needs to be to say to God, I've been wanting my own way and holding you responsible for my pain. We hold God responsible for our pain all too often. Sometimes he's just saying, hey, just trust me for a little bit longer. Just trust me for a little bit longer. I know it's hard to say that when we've been going through crises, we've been going through hurt, but just trust him for a little bit longer. Caiaphas had a real answer, but it wasn't the answer that he was looking for. If you are looking for an answer that is anything but Jesus this morning, you're not gonna find the answer that's gonna give you comfort for the rest of your life. Jesus is always gonna be the comfort. He's not, maybe not gonna make it comfortable right this minute, but he is always going to be your place of comfort. Let's look in the face of Jesus. Let's not do what Caiaphas did and see him and say, I'm gonna live my life void of you. Let's choose to trust Jesus today.
Thanks again for joining us on the Central and Janesville podcast. Remember to check us out at centraljanesville.com. Have a great week.